You ready? Father, we just thank you that you are with us and you are desirous that we would just have what you have given to us and meditate on it and rejoice in it and sing about it and take it unto ourselves, knowing that you have given us the word of life. This is our bread. Father, as we just come to you and just open this word, we thank you that we are eating tonight. We're eating well. We're eating at your table. And we thank you, Lord God, that as this word of God goes on the inside of us, that you bring it to our remembrance so that we know who we are and what we have become. That we are no longer bound up by the vain ideas of this world, that the rudiments of this world, as we read about in the last book, First Thessalonians, we're not going to be tied up by the basic elements of this world, but in fact we are being shown the new creation which we have become and from whom we draw our life. We abide in Him, in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we thank you for opening this word to us tonight. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, let's take a look here.
I'll be back. Great to be here Sunday.
All right. Good. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's it. New people. Let's read. Second Thessalonians, there's two letters, 1 and 2. This one's a smaller one. This one's only got about 3 chapters to it, as far as when people start dividing them up. All right?
First chapter.
And we're starting in chapter 1 of Second Thessalonians. Here we go. All right? Now, Paul and Silvanus. Silvanus? Who's that? Well, it's Paul and Silas. That's Silas. Paul and Silas. And Timothy. So these guys are now together. They've been separated for a period of time here and there. But now Timothy is together with Paul and Silas. And they're, this is Paul's letter, of course, but they're together ministering at this point. And so he is writing this. And so now let's keep on going here. To the church of the Thessalonians. In God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So to the church in Thessalonica, which is in God. So that church is in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. There's another one. See, now we always come to these epistles and see so many times Paul starts that epistle out. Grace to you. In other words, hey, he's basically coming and bringing the kingdom of God to you. You know how sometimes it's when you had just a hard day or a day filled with the world or a day filled with junk, that when you come into here, come to worship God with your brothers and sisters, we say, grace and peace to you. What that means is that kingdom of God to you. Grace, a way of saying, you are in the kingdom of God. Grace and peace be to you. In other words, welcome to the presence of God. Throw off all the old junk. Throw off all the stuff that's come to you. Throw off everything that's every sin that so easily besets you. Throw it off. Cast off all of this world. And that's what he's saying when he's greeting these folks, is to the church that their Father is the Lord is the Father God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Those are commodities that aren't available here. Amen? Those are commodities that are only available from knowing Jesus Christ. Only available in heaven. And the only distributor is Jesus and the Father. And so now, hey, since you're in the Father, since you're in the Son, grace and peace be to you. You have it. Amen? Remember what it says over in Romans chapter 5. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Peace with God. That's it. We have peace with God. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you. Man, isn't that cool to be thanked for? Thanked God for? You know, Pastor Jim and I could say, we thank God for Tim. We thank God for this brother, that sister. You know, we thank God for you. Well, it's kind of like, and you're kind of going, why? Awesome. Yeah. Thank God for you. Yeah, you weren't here. Don't come see God on your birthday. Your wife was celebrating.
The family had a celebration.
Awesome. Amen. They're giving thanks for you. Isn't that good? Yeah. Amen. So we're bound to thank God always for you. That is pretty important. We are bound. See, God wants us to thank God for each other. Isn't that powerful? You know, thank God for this brother and that sister. Thank God for them, you know? Because, you know, some of them are the ones that are wearing you out. Some of them are the ones that drive you crazy. Thank God for them. You know what they're doing? They're drawing out your sins. Isn't that good? You know, they're uncovering your sins. Yeah, right. Amen. Drawing your sins out. Weren't you mad that he made you sin?
He did.
Yeah, you know what? Guess what? That sin was already in there. He was just a good occasion for it to come out. So God could say, Tim, I'd like to help you with that. He made me do that. No, he didn't make you do that. That was already in there. Amen. Praise God. Well, God used it. God took him away so you... God took him away so you wouldn't kill him. Praise the Lord. Amen. He was used of God. Then God took him away. Did you confess your sins?
No,
you didn't.
Praise God, it's gone.
You didn't confess your sins? Confess them right now. Confess it right now.
I repent.
Well, you know, whatever. What was it? What happened? How'd you sin? Did you get angry?
Yeah, I got angry a couple times.
Did you repent of that?
You sat around and did nothing.
You didn't love him?
I tried to.
You tried to?
I tried to.
And then what happened?
Very hard. I had to pray to God every single day.
That was awesome. Amen. Hallelujah.
How you doing?
Step in.
Good.
Amen.
Where's
the wife?
She's right behind you.
She's coming right in.
Your car doors are open.
Oh, my gosh. Close them.
Can I close them?
Would you?
Okay.
Thank you. No, I didn't know they're still open.
He's gone.
That's good.
Well, he had many, many problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he thought he was a Christian, but he still had many, many problems.
Yeah, that's right. So you just minister love to him. That's all you
tried.
Did. Amen.
We tried to help him out too.
Then did you get angry after that?
We got angry.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Hey, Margaret. Praise the Lord. Come in. We're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1.
Hello, how are you?
2 Thessalonians chapter 1.
Did y'all find a place to live in closer to
here? Oh, yeah, you mean from a year and a half ago?
Yeah, we got a duplex for the movies.
Yeah, we're not close. We're not too far.
They're down by White Rock. Aren't you?
Yeah. He wanted to move.
Well, they want to move next door is where they'd like to move. They'd like to move next door here.
We thought about it, but we're, you know, for the time being.
Yeah.
See,
that's an awesome place. All right, here we are. We're still in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. So he says in verse 3 that we are bound to thank God always for you. Isn't that something? To thank God. See, Paul says he is bound to thank God always for these Thessalonian people. That is amazing. And you could think of it as, well, we're bound to do it. No, what this really is talking about is that we're bound in the Holy Ghost to give thanks for you. Amen? So, I mean, I'm bound to give thanks for Houston.
Yeah.
And some days, that's just hard, isn't it? Praise the Lord. You just have to stand on the word, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm bound by God to give thanks. You know, y'all remember over here in 1 Timothy, which is, we're not there yet, but remember where it says, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, is chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. It says, and giving up thanks be made for all men. I exhort, give thanks for all men. Well, do I have to give thanks for that person? No, he says, I'm bound to give thanks for you. In other words, God wants us to be thankful for one another.
It's not an effort thing either. It's, mm-hmm. It's a love thing.
It's a love thing, yeah. And it's a faith thing so many times. Amen?
Yeah.
Sounds powerful.
Unconditional love.
That's exactly what it is. And unconditional love comes from one place. It comes from the heart that's been transformed by the Lord, which is, first of all, your spirit, and then the heart of man, which is becomes the renewed, also the renewed mind, is that I believe I love. It's not only the fact that I do love, that's the spirit, but I believe I do. That's the renewed soul. Amen? Is that you believe what God says. See, Paul believes that he loves these brethren. Even the ones that are yucky, even the ones that drive you crazy, even the ones that are nasty,
so they're,
right?
They're their brother. They call them brethren. He made for all men. That might be everybody.
That is everybody. That's even worse. That's exactly right. But he says, give thanks for all men. Because what does he want? All men to come to the knowledge of the truth. In everything, give thanks. In everything is the fact that God is going to work all things into his plan. You don't have to make a judgment in the sense that cut off this person here or that person there based on your assessment. Say, let God decide. Let God judge the people in New Orleans. Amen?
Amen.
If they're still alive, go help them. Don't curse them. Don't withhold food. If God left them alive, you go help them. Amen? I mean, if God left them alive... Perfect. It's awesome. I mean, if there are people alive right there, you know, Norman LaBrosse is going, he's got family down in Slidell, which got hit very hard, and he's going to pack up the SUV, and he's going to take, you know, tell everybody to bring stuff, and he's going to head on down there to help out part of his family, but also to distribute, you know, down there as well. So, I mean, it's powerful. You know, if God has put it on your heart to go do that, you go do it. Yeah, the guy's the sound guy, computer guy.
Okay.
So anyway, so he's doing that here in this church. One of the sisters, Laura, has had put on her heart to go and begin to put together, she talked about it, I think, last Sunday, is to put together a means to have a meal for some of the refugees or evacuees, whatever you want to call them, at one of the local hotels. There, people who are held up, who are being put up in the hotels, is they have continental breakfast, but a good meal in the middle of the day, and they're asking churches to come, one here, one there, one here, one there, and so we're going to be doing that, is doing a meal at one of the hotels for probably about 200 people, you know, and that's exactly right. Because being also going out there means you're out there. And who are you but a demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And so we have so many people out there as the National Guard and the Red Cross and all that kind of thing. But again, those are in fact people. And they are not restricted as people from sharing their faith. And, you know, our prayer is also that those who are meeting the needs are people who love God. In other words, those Red Cross people that are showing up down there are people who love God. That's our prayer. It's not that we have a bunch of, you know, people down there, well, hope for the best.
Yeah, give out.
Hand stuff out. But people who will actually, and there are. I know there are. But also people that God has set in place and who have had a heart to move that direction. We have a good friend down in Houston who has an international ministry for disaster relief, and they're in Houston. And then all of a sudden, right next door, biggest disaster ever is next door, at least the biggest disaster in this country. And they're used to going to internationally. Well, they're sending teams now just right across the state line. So, I mean, that's powerful. And their heart, of course, is to not only just bring food and, you know, the necessities of life for the moment, but to bring the gospel. And that's true. But anybody who's living, I mean, it's been through a disaster, and if it's in your power to do something, to help them, to give them the things that are necessary for life and for living, is to not withhold that, but also, in the doing that, tell them where it came from. It came from Jesus. It didn't come from Texas. It didn't come from Rick Perry. It came from Jesus, because Jesus sent me.
Yeah. And wisdom, too, because, I mean, there's so many...
Oh, for sure.
...people who are just...
Freeloaders.
Yeah.
Thieves.
I mean, thieves.
Yeah, sure. But there are some, and of course, when you got a city of millions, hundreds of thousands, they're just regular people who are just dying.
Soften, because some of those thieves could be saved. Do you think the Lord softens their heart?
Anytime you have such a devastation, I believe God can minister to somebody. Because everything that they were counting on, even if they're a thief and they're... Even if they're living on the street, there's an infrastructure that they depend on. They depend on the cars driving by. Those guys are in trouble. There's no cars driving by. They've got they think they live on the street, and they kind of got the system worked. There is no system.
Yeah.
It's gone. You can't even walk in the water. The water will kill you. They said don't even let the water get on your skin, because it's just growing with all kinds of stuff in it. You know, you just cannot do that. They're going to evacuate the entire city. Even people who wanted to stay, you can't stay. So, here, we're talking is that we are bound to thank God. And for all these that are out there, thank God. You know, what can you do? You can sit down and you can pray. You can actually open your mouth and begin to pray for that city. And that is effectual. The fervent prayer avails much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amen? You can also get together some stuff and take it down to the shelters. They don't need clothes anymore. We've done clothes. Clothes are work intensive. And most people are just getting rid of their junk anyway. But clothes are very work intensive. But what they need is toiletries, things to make you feel like a human being. Again, soap, toothpaste, toothbrush, deodorant, shaving stuff, you know, feminine stuff, just to have, so people can move on to the next day. And things, non-perishable food, things in cans, things in, you know, boxes. But that's the kind of thing. We're going to have some boxes here Sunday for that kind of thing. And we'll be having it taken over to the shelters here. Exactly. And so, and then also people who want to participate in the, I can't remember the day yet, but it's like in a week or two.
Yeah.
They'll be feeding lunch to about 200 people at one of the local hotels. And Philip and the people who usually put together our Passover Seder are going to be putting together the food ministry for this. So that's powerful. So let's keep on. We are bound, this is verse 3, we're bound to thank God. Because God in your heart causes you to give thanks for all men. So you're believing what God's done. You're believing the truth. Well, I don't give thanks for that guy. He's just a nut. He's just a mess. No. You have to understand what the difference is between you and your old stinking thinking and you and the new creation. When you find yourself cursing someone because they're an idiot. Yeah. Exactly. Like me, like I would do. You know, is that you're cursing somebody, and I don't mean even swearing. I mean just saying wicked of them, just being degrading of a person because of what you perceive is not right about them, or what doesn't work about them, or how come they off. Now certainly there are people that are just an absolute mess. They're thieves. They're con artists. Amen. Everything. But God says you love them. You're bound to give thanks for them. And if anything comes to your mind that says is a curse to them, because remember what he says, when he says anybody who says you fool is in danger of the hellfire. It's saying, you know, you're declaring somebody is worthless. You don't have any right to do that in the Lord. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't declare somebody worthless. He in fact loved the worthless. to who we would call the worthless, he loved them. We're bound. I go bound in the Spirit. Remember where he said, you remember over in the book of Acts, when the prophet, he came down to Jerusalem and before he was going to get arrested and taken to before Felix and Festus. There's a prophet, Agabus, who is in there. He says, and he has a belt, and he binds his hands up and says, this is what will be done to you, you know, if you go into Jerusalem. He says, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. I can't not go. I'm bound. Amen? See, I'm bound. So when the Holy Spirit touches your heart, you are bound. You can't. And here he says, I am bound to give thanks for all men. Same thing is true of you and me. I believe this, is that you are bound. You either hadn't heard it, or what you're hearing is your own feelings, is your own attitude of what the world has given you. And again, that comes back over here to where we were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where was it? Is you're operating under the vain deceit of this world. Class warfare. He says here, exhort you. We exhort you. Warn the unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. That's chapter 5, not 4. Chapter 5, verse 14. See that none render evil for evil to any man. Even if somebody's doing evil to you, doesn't mean you can't put somebody in jail for killing people. That's not what it means. There is a civil law. But what is it? Not personally. You know, that guy killed somebody. He's in jail. Good. Should be. But does that mean you get to go in and curse him and hate him? No. In fact, you get to go in and forgive him and offer him the mercy of Jesus Christ. That he have every opportunity to repent before God. He may never get out of jail because of the law, but he can be set free in the heart.
Right.
And we have to understand, this is who we are. We're ministers of the gospel. We're ministers of good news. So again, this is a hard one to get off of. We are bound to thank God always for you, in this case. Talking about the brethren here. Over in 1 Timothy, we talked about for all men. Here, I'm bound in the Spirit to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it is right, because that your faith grows exceedingly.
Is meet right?
Correct. It's right. It's the right thing to do. It's fitting.
Okay.
It's fitting. Meet means fitting.
Okay.
It's a fitting thing to do. It's proper. Proper. All right? So we're giving thanks to you, for you, brethren, because it's fitting. It's proper. Because that your faith grows exceedingly. Exceedingly growing faith. Do you know faith would grow? We're given the measure of faith. But then here he says it grows. Because and think about this, because we're changed in the Scripture. When I say think about it, I mean think about other Scriptures that back it up. We're changed from glory to glory.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a rising from 30, 60, 100-fold. The good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept. From faith to faith. That we're growing. We're constantly growing up in the Lord. Amen? You believe that? Don't think, well, I'm just not growing. All right. That's a lie from the devil. God said you're growing. You agree with God or not?
Okay.
I mean, you know, grow up means believe God. Quit believing what you see. Quit believing you're looking at yourself like, oh, gee, that just never looks like, that don't look like nothing. No, you're seeing more sins. That's growth. Amen? You're growing. You see the same old sins. Good, that's growing. You're seeing how bad they're getting. Your sins are getting seemingly worse. Right? Seemingly your sins are worse. He's like, well, good, you're growing. Things are getting peeled off. Things are getting peeled down. You don't look as good as you used to look. You're looking more sinful. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that good? Because then what that means is it's like an onion. You're getting down to the core. Hallelujah. You're getting down to the core. God is peeling you, brother. Blessing you. Your wife is being used to peel you down to nothing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you worshiping God? Are you thanking Him? Hallelujah. Amen. That's powerful. Thank God for your wife. She's your best friend. She's your best friend. That's right. It should. You know, it's like one of those sores with a pus coming out. Sorry, Mama. Coming out. Got women in the house. But you just squeeze that thing out. That's all dead stuff. You know, cover your ears. You want to get the dead stuff out. Amen. Out of your mind and your what you believe and what you thought about yourself or what you thought about somebody else. You know, that ugly person of another ethnic variety or another, or, you know, that's a lie. Jesus loved every man. Jesus loved every woman. You are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. So you're dead to this world, but you're alive. So Galatians said, you know, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I say, go figure. How's that work? Nevertheless, I live. I'm crucified with Him, dead with Him, but nevertheless, I live. Because the life that I now live in the same old body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I didn't used to live like that, but I do now. The life that I now live, it's now is different than back then. Right. The life that I now live in this flesh, this same old body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm living a new life in the same old body. Amen. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. He said, behold. How do you behold? Is you look at the truth. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. So I'm going to hear the Word of God. That's right. That's it. That's the promise. We know where faith comes from.
It's like food.
That's it.
The Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Or food for the soul.
Both.
Both?
Both. Amen. Amen. Keep going. Because that your faith grows exceedingly. Now thank God for exceedingly growing faith. When you get in your prayer closet, just thank Him. Don't work it up. Don't think about it. Don't try to make it happen. Just thank Him for it. Exceedingly growing faith. You know, if you'll just thank Him for that, because that'll remind you that that's where you want to go. And that's where you reminded God. God, that's where I want to be. I want to have exceedingly growing faith. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to think about how my mind thinks that things aren't working out the way that I thought they should. I thank You, Father, for exceedingly growing faith. I'm just going to worship You now and thank You for the power of the living God flowing through me. How's that going to happen? I don't know. As I walk along today, You're going to produce. You're going to do something. I expect it. Amen? I expect You to just produce in me. I expect it. And so you'll begin to have opportunities where the Lord will set it in your path to be able to do. Like these things, say what Laura's doing today, or things that you guys have done in the past because God told you to do it. Amen? And you just did it. You didn't see, you honestly didn't, maybe you didn't even see any current value in it, but just God told you to do it. Just put it right there. Pick up this rock and put it right over there. You know, why? Well, just do what I told you. I'll take care of the rest. Amen. Just do what I told you. Just do that one little thing. You don't have to know everything. Amen. You don't have to know everything. Just thank God and worship Him and walk along. You know, a man plans his plan your day. Man plans his way. The Lord directs his steps. You know, it's like driving a car. You're a little fine as you got the Holy Spirit on the inside and He's making those minor adjustments. As you know how you drive? You know, you kind of make little minor adjustments. You're not like a you're not like a teenager anymore who makes adjustments like this. You know, whoa. You know, Holy Spirit is making those minor adjustments. You're not in control. He is. Let him make the adjustments. Just you go along worshiping God, doing what God set you to do, and he'll put you in a place. You believe that? You start your day like that. Give it to God. Say, God, just steer me and keep me from sin. And when I get in, when I fall in sin, let me repent quickly.
And let me not forget to talk to you throughout the day.
Amen.
You start out the day, even in the first thought, you come out of fear, you can still get into the world. See God's gone.
Sure, exactly. Exactly. And that's just because you're deceived, because you believe I'm easily deceived. I believe the world can get my goat. So they do. You know, you ever let the world, does the world ever get your goat, somebody? Ah! You know, man, doggone it, did it again. Maybe that same client got you again. That guy always makes me mad. I don't know what button he flips, but he sure does, you know. You know, certain people just always flip your buttons. You say, God, I thank you that my buttons are no longer flipped. Nobody can ever flip my buttons again. Hallelujah. Then when it happens again, you don't get guilty. When it happens again, you don't feel guilty. You just say, Father, I confess that. And then Jesus, that was wicked and evil to believe that person could have been, to curse that person that way. Amen. That's wicked and evil. So I just confess it right now. Hallelujah. And then that's all, you know what the devil does. He accuses you anyway. Well, that was wicked. After he says, hey, curse that guy. Well, look at you. You call yourself a Christian. You just curse that guy. Man, that guy is two-faced. That devil turns on me. First of all, he makes me mad. Then he tells me to curse the guy. And then once I curse the guy, the devil accuses me. He says, what kind of Christian are you? And I fall for it every time. Amen. And so I just confess. If you learn to confess quickly, see, then you begin to walk where you're not bound up and the enemy cannot put that even that initial guilt on you because you know it's not from Jesus. Amen. Because you cannot be hurt. You cannot be destroyed. When the devil cannot destroy you, men cannot destroy you. Well, yeah, they could shoot me. Yeah, but they can't destroy your heart. They can't destroy your existence because you live in the kingdom. Jesus didn't have a fear of any man because he knew who he was. Do you know who you are? What if your body was killed? So what? Amen. Well, I just don't like that idea. Well, certainly not. However, let's just begin to thank God and let's begin to walk in that knowledge and understanding is that we are a new creation. We are a heavenly creation. God is using us in the earth because he's desiring to, through the Holy Ghost, get the gospel out. Amen? That's the only reason you're here, not to take pictures. Amen. You're just taking pictures to feed your gospel machine. Amen? Just doing that to feed your gospel preaching machine. Amen. That's it. You're just doing the thing so you can minister to the kids. Amen? That's why you're there. Perfect. You're being there to minister to those other people right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
8 hours
a day. That's the only reason you're put in there. I spy. You're an agent for the Holy Ghost. That's why you're here. Why do you think you're here? I'm here to have a nice little life. Baloney. I'm not here to have a nice little life. You're going to have a nice little life and I'm in heaven with Jesus. Right now, it's work time right now. It's gospel time. All right. Your faith grows exceedingly. And the charity, what's charity? Anybody know what charity is going to be? Love? What kind? What kind of love? Ah, bingo. Perfect. Agape, which is it's this old English word here used in the King James, is charity is translated love. In the New Translation, it's translated love. usually. But the thing is, see, charity is used in the King James, and that's why I like it, because it's, because the word love is just, it is love, 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 love. He loves anything, you know. But charity kind of distinguishes it of a, to a certain kind of love. And it's even more than charity. It's total unconditional love. But charity is probably the closest thing we've got in mentally. It's closer than love. It's, you know, giving yourself away kind of love. Philanthropic. That is, you did nothing for me, but I'm going to bless you. It's unconditional love, but this is just about the best we can get in English. Mm-hmm. Agape, that's what it is. That's right. It's the God kind of love. The love that loves without any benefit to itself. It's like when Pastor Jim talks about a trustee and a beneficiary. The trustee is, you know, the trustor, the person who created the trust, appoints somebody who's going to be around to administrate the trust for, say, a young person who doesn't have capacity to do things on their own. So what he does is, you know, the father set a trust up with millions and put a trust in, but the baby don't know how to spend millions or just let it grow for his benefit later. So we appoint a trustee, pastor, somebody. We appoint a trustee to dole out the, or hold on to, the corpus of the trust or the meat of the trust, the money, to hold on to so it doesn't get squandered. He guards it so it doesn't get, and neither does he take anything, barely anything for himself, just enough to, you know, to keep him in business, to do it, you know.
Yeah.
So the charity of every one of you all, now he's talking again to the Thessalonians, that their faith is growing exceedingly, and the agape love of every one of you, them, of you, all toward each other abounds. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at that. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. So the love of every one of you toward each other abounds. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. And if I'm right, that's the agape. May grow up into Him. We're speaking the truth to each other in love. This is the body of Christ. In all things, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom? So out of Him, the whole body. Who's the whole body? You and you and you and you and amen. The whole body fitly, perfectly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. It's held together because every joint is supplying. Everybody is supplying something. Everybody in the body. Say over in 1 Corinthians, he talks about in verse chapter 12, talks about the body. We need the eye. We need the ear. We need the foot. We need the hand. You can't say, "Oh, gee, I wish I was a hand." No, we need you to be what you are.
Yeah.
All right? So he says, that which is from Jesus Christ, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working of every part. Every part plays a part. Working in the measure of every part. Every part has a certain measure to play. In other words, it's like your human body. Everything does something. I was hearing the other day, they're even finding out that things that they didn't think did anything, like tonsils. They help with your immune system. You know, they used to pull your tonsils, they used to yank your tonsils out because they got sore. They got inflamed, so that, well, man, what do you need those? Take them out. You know, and they're going to, I think they're even finding out the appendix is worth something. You know, see, the evolutionaries want to think, well, these are vestige organs, vestiges of an older time. You evolved, so you don't need that one anymore.
Right.
And he said, no, we're finding out that these things have a current purpose.
I have my appendix and my tonsils.
Praise the Lord. You and me both. You and me both. Amen.
And she doesn't have her tonsils. See if your tonsils?
Yeah.
See if your appendix?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See if your
appendix. You didn't give it away, did you? Now look here. In the working of every part that makes and makes increase of the body to the what? Edifying of itself. You know, as you hear God and as you are the part that God called you to be, just be happy where you are. Just be happy with being what you are in God. Don't worry about it. He hadn't got you quite where you want to be yet. Fine. Just worship Him. Thank Him. He's going to begin to use you, and you're right in the right spot to begin to cause the body to be worked together. Amen? People are just mad at themselves. They're just looking, checking themselves out all the time. Just worship God. Just abide in the vine. He's going to begin to work in you. I'll tell you what. If you're happy, then God's going to be able to use you. If you're upset and down on yourself all the time, where's your attention set? On you. Self-centered. I'm
what's in love stuff?
Mm-hmm. In love? Well, same thing.
Yeah,
the edifying of itself in love. That is, as you're not worried about trying to produce something or be somebody else or be something else, is you're going to begin to be used by God within the body, and the body is going to begin to edify itself. But we need you. We need you to be you. Now, does that mean we need you to sin like you normally sin? No, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is, get forgiven, don't get under guilt, and be the new you. That's it. Perfect. Amen. That's it. Be that new creation. And so the reason I read that one was it ties right here to this verse here in the first chapter here of 2 Thessalonians, where it says that the charity of all of every one of you, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity or the agape of every one of you all toward each other. You're edifying one another. And that's happening in this church here in Thessalonica. Amen? That's what Paul is saying. He's agreeing with that. Yes. So how about this church in Dallas? Amen. Is the faith is growing exceedingly, and the charity of every one of them toward one another is abounding. Toward one another. We're talking about, now of course we've been talking about the agape love for all men. For the hurricane victims. How about the agape love for all men here, no matter what? Amen. The agape love for each other. Abounding. Forgiveness. Abounding. Right? Amen? Hallelujah. Because these are the people, it's like family. These are the ones you live with. These are the ones that you rub up against. Well, what does he say? He says, if you can't love your brother who you have seen, how can you say you love God who you haven't seen? Maybe God's ugly. I don't love him, but I love God. Well, how do you know? God may look just like him.
I'm going to have to ask you about that one, okay?
What was that?
That's 1 John.
You've been reading that one.
Quite a bit. Yeah. I need to ask you about that, if you don't mind.
Yeah. No, it may be. I can't remember. I wasn't studying that one today. You may have a better idea than I do.
I think it's a... it's 4, chapter 4. Okay. I'm going to start with verse 19.
Okay.
Now, 19. It says it's all about love, God's love. God is love. We love him because he first loved us. Very clear. Problem there. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Okay? He says he loves God and hates his brother. That means, okay, so that to me is saying that if he has the Spirit of God in him, the Holy Spirit, he loves God, he is able to love his brother, period, throughout. Okay?
From the heart.
Love, yes, from the heart.
Yeah.
Exactly. True love. From the Spirit, from his Spirit. Then it says, if he says, I love God, but I hate my brother, he's a liar, I believe that. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, if you don't love your brother who you've seen, it sounds like it means visually seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? Okay, that's my problem. Because I believe that I fell in love with God before I fell in love with my brother. Because he loved me, he forgave me, he took me in. He gave me his Spirit. Now I know I'm wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
Because I know the scriptures are correct.
And
I
right.
believe in them. But I'm just saying that I love. I'm saying that I don't believe that if I can't love my brother who I haven't seen, how can I love God? No, if I can't love my brother who I have seen, how can I love God who I haven't seen?
Right.
The question is, I don't agree with that.
And here, well, here,
because I love God first.
Right. And here's what he's saying here.
He loved me.
Right. And here's what he's saying here is this is a person who is not, we're not talking about the initial soul interaction with the Lord of knowing, but we're saying somebody who is growing up in the Lord and who consistently refuses to agree that, yes, like we're talking about tonight, to have an agreement that says, I love my brother. Now, but we're talking about somebody here who in that scripture says, well, I love God, but I don't like him. You know, he's willing to live there. He's going to live there.
Okay?
And what he's merely saying here is merely. He's merely saying the fact is that you cannot say that you love God. So you haven't even seen God. And he's talking about visually. He's talking about visually. You haven't seen God. How can you say you love God? Because the love that you say that you have for God, here's the deal. The love that you say you have for God is based on, honestly, just based almost on a phileo. Because you do not understand that the love that God has for you and the love with which you are loved causes love to flow to your brother. You don't know that you are forgiven. It says, he that forgives much, loveth much. This guy doesn't understand that. And that's the guy that he's referring to. It's some guy who's saying, well, I love God, but I don't love him. No, he's saying to that man, you don't understand the love of
God.
You don't understand the love of God.
He doesn't comprehend what love is.
Right.
Okay, so this is a person with a certain perception.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Because this is a complicated book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes back and forth and back
and forth. And that's right.
You really got to get from the Spirit here. So what you're telling me, Pastor, is that, okay, so he doesn't, okay, he's talking about a particular person who looks at it from a particular perspective.
That's right. I love God, but I don't love you. Or he may not even be saying that, but it's the way he's acting toward that
God
person.
God, he hasn't seen.
Yeah, exactly.
That, okay, well, he didn't even know, I guess. Hey, maybe seen in the Greek meant no. I don't know.
Okay. Could be. We hadn't looked at it. We hadn't looked
or
at it.
Hebrew or whatever.
Right. But it's just the particular way he's couching the illustration is he who doesn't love his brother who he hates his brother whom he has seen, how can he say that he loves God whom he hasn't seen? So if it's based if love is based on,
seeing
seeing
like a guy riches or something.
Yeah.
Trust him. Because he'll take care of me.
Something,
they
yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. Okay, cool. That's good.
That like Thomas. Like Thomas again, you know, Thomas, you know, my Lord and my God. Well, you believed because you believe because you've seen.
Yeah.
You know, blessed is he who has believed and has not yet seen. So the key is that I believe I love my brother. That is in John 20 or 21, right as Jesus is resurrected. The second time he appeared to the disciples is, you know, because the first time Thomas wasn't there. Second time Thomas was there, Jesus said, okay, touch my hands. Touch my side. You know, I won't believe unless I see. Mm-hmm, exactly. But that particular scripture there is just showing up the
that is clear to me.
The incorrect yeah. attitude. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it was unclear to me. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it,
mm-hmm.
the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I would do. Here's what I would do on that one is I would go back a few verses. Go back to say verse 14 or 15, kind of the back to where he began to talk about that whole line of thinking, and go back to that and let that. Let's see where that was. John 4, 1 John 4. Say start. Say start at 11.
No.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought, that's where he's coming from, we ought also to love one another. In other words, if we believe that God has loved us, if God loved us like this, so loved us in this way, we ought, the ought means this is what it should look like. It's not shaking a finger in your face saying, now, you should be loving, you bad Christian. That's not what he's saying. Ought means here's what it looks like when it's a finished product. All right? If you believe, you will see. Ought's shaking a finger at the human flesh saying, shape up. This ought is, here is what it looks like. Here's what the finished product looks like. He says over in Galatians, you remember, he says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. But the fruit of the Spirit is or looks like this. So in other words, you can see the difference between the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And whenever in these epistles, he's talking about, therefore, brethren, the therefore is because you believe this, that rejoice forevermore, pray without ceasing. Those are commands, but they're commands to the renewed, to the regenerated man.
A love. A command of love.
And do you believe? Do you believe? Then this is you.
Yeah.
So then you begin to step out on faith in those things. And you're not condemned when you miss and you mess up. But you begin to step out on faith because you believe this is who you are. You don't say, oh, I hate that person. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to love them. Because you are believing a lie. You're believing I don't love them. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. You're a new creation. You're talking about the old God. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. So walk by faith, which is step out on the wrong one, wrong phone. Step out on the Step out on the other stuff. Amen. So praise the Lord. Amen.
Okay.
Now, let me finish that, close that up. There we go. Hallelujah. Well, does that make sense? Does that make sense what I'm talking about?
It does. It's,
I like that often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So again, let me finish that right here. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man's seen God at any time. If we love...
Oh, you're back in John.
Yeah, I'm back in John. I'm still going with that. No man's seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. And His love is perfected in us. If it appears that we love one another. If we are loving one another. If love is flowing out and if it's being manifested. If it's seen. Does that make sense? If it is being shown, demonstrated, it's, if it's happening. If you see this, then God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. So that's your confession. Amen? That's our confession. Jesus is in us. And we have known and believe that the love that God has to us. Do you know and believe it? See, that's the key, is knowing and believing. Knowing and believing. Knowing and believing.
Knowing by the Word, mm-hmm, or by revelation.
That's it.
And believing
what you know
by the Word.
Believe in what you know.
Yeah.
I wonder how people do that. Because I feel like, in retrospect, I can see how God works and how. But if they don't have any history, I wonder how they know and believe. I think for me, it's only because I can look back and go, well, he did this and he did this.
Mm-hmm,
this.
Mm-hmm. Even at that, you don't need any history. You just need the Word of God, because the Word of God is revealed by His Spirit.
Okay, let me just...
Yep.
Yeah, this is real good. This morning in the shower, I've been having some really big... I've been blessed a lot, but in some areas it doesn't look like I've been blessed at all.
Mm-hmm.
In other areas, like going, I was up front with my daughter, so mm-hmm, on and so forth. But I just said... I repeat certain things. My flesh is crucified with Christ. And then I just got pissed off.
Mm.
I just said, damn it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What the hell? Do we re-crucify it, mm-hmm, every day, or what's the deal?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's your word on that?
No, because you sin again.
My flesh again? Is crucified with Christ. That's scripture,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, why is it still showing up?
You've been crucified. Your old man, the old dead man. There is a man that was in the old creation. You have a new creation, but you still have this old body, this old mind.
A physical,
right?
Body.
But it's this mind and understanding and way that you were raised and way that you respond to things. And the part is that what happens is, and now you know you do believe, but it's like your emotions don't believe. That the biggest issue is our emotional responses. Is because we think we can get cheated, so our emotions rise up to stop it. You will not cheat me. Amen? What's the biggest thing that rises up when you feel like you're going to get hurt or cheated? Or somebody's doing me wrong.
Well,
is it your mind first, or is it your emotions first?
Yeah.
It's my emotions. And so my emotions tend to be the last thing, the hardest thing to overtake. But again, it takes this daily worship of God and daily knowing that that is not me, and instant repentance. Don't follow through on it by faith. Meaning, or turn around, by faith, don't follow through. If you can avoid following through by faith, you may start, by God! No, the Holy Spirit catches me. No. I'm not gonna follow through with that, even though it feels so good. It feels so righteous. It feels so good to vent and to get and to be righteously angry about, and it's not that, and it's probably not that whatever somebody did or didn't do was not probably worthy of anger. But the fact is that you no longer respond in that way. You respond in wisdom, you respond in love, you respond in peace. Amen?
That's what I want.
Amen. And you believe that. And so, but don't let that, in other words, and this is all by faith. Okay? It's not by, let's please God, God's mad at me now that I swore. No, He's not. God's not mad that you swore. But what that does is cause you to trip. It causes you to walk in deception. I'm deceived. I was deceived. That's why I swore. The devil, you know, came up with something and he deceived me. Because he brought up the old stuff. Vain ideas. And he brought vain ideas up and said, here. Or he had you react based on vain ideas. That this is how to deal with these particular issues. And that's the enemy's deceit. And we said, no, I don't respond like that anymore. I don't deal with that in that way anymore. And it's not because I'm being a good Christian. It's because it's the love of God that constrains me.
It's got to be. Is that a good Christian thing?
And no, a good Christian, there's no such thing as a good Christian. There's such thing as a dead person, a dead man, who's in Christ. And his flesh is dead. That is not a good Christian.
Yeah.
Amen? You got to be dead. And you got to believe you're dead. And then you've got to walk like you're dead. I mean, you can't make a dead man mad. Amen.
Now that's the dead man. Now there's a risen. You see, those can be really.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and I've been listening to you guys for a long time.
And how does the risen man
but
react?
Still, I mean, you're dealing with the dead man and the risen man.
There's the deal right there. Is
trying to separate those two son of a guns and...
Hebrews 4:12.
Okay.
The Word of God
is
alive and powerful, dividing between
the soul and the spirit.
That's it.
Okay, the soul being the confused part of our flesh.
That's right.
The body, the spirit being the new man.
That's it. You got it.
The Word of God. So, this is kind of what I've told myself in the past is feeding. It's like food. It's like food. We can go out there and try to fast. I can wake up with my wife and give her, you know, the Father covers his blood, all that stuff. But if it stops there, that's nothing.
Again.
I mean, you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you're not holding your...
You don't do that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that you don't hold yourself up. Dangerous person, aren't I?
Yeah.
Is the issue is that all of this is taking place by faith, not in so you please God as if he was angry with you. That's what the whole church does. It's all about trying to please God. No, what I want to do is walk with him and so that the glory of God is manifest in me. Amen? And so what's happening is here is that I am not, I'm believing. Amen. Do you? Do you believe you do?
I want to enjoy that.
I think you are. Are you not?
No, I haven't been.
Ah, praise the Lord.
That's what you should be quiet.
Oh, amen.
I'm saying that, no, I haven't been. I felt it at certain times, but I haven't felt it lately.
Amen.
Whatever. Lots of things happening, but I need the roots. And you, David, Pastor David, give me some roots. And I need
Hallelujah.
Roots.
Praise God.
Because I have nothing else to hang on to. Nothing else to grab.
Amen. That's awesome.
It's dead.
That's
slow,
it.
Slow. If you
have
your
wife,
if you
have Martha, whatever.
Yeah.
Mark is also spiritual as well. Mark.
No, she's spiritual, but I'm the head of the family.
He's comparing yours though to his situation. Is that his wife not? He's not where she's at. His wife's not where he's at. Oh yeah. Now.
She went back home because she
got homesick. Okay, go. Got homesick. Amen. Hey, look here. Let's keep going on this chapter 4. I don't want to get away from it because we need the scriptures. What we need. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God. And God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. That okay. I'm in verse 17. 16 and 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Love that. But when he appears again, we'll be like.
But it's interesting. It's not saying. It's actually not saying like, you know, as he is, so are we in this world. It's kind of like some supernatural kind of big supernatural miracle worker. That half of scripture that we say, as he is, so are we in this world. You have to put it where did it come from? It came from this passage talking about the fact of dwelling in God, abiding in Him, and He in us, as He is. I am love. As He is love, so am I. He's talking about love. He's not talking about, you know, prosperous or miracle working.
Wow. I mean, I know exactly what you're saying, because mm-hmm. I used to be able to quote the scripture, perfect love casts out fear, and that did nothing mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. me mm-hmm. until I read this whole chapter.
You got to read the passage.
And heard the whole truth.
Yes.
And then something, but you got to stick with it. Mm-hmm. You got to keep seeking.
That's it. You got to, it's a letter, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
It's a letter. A letter kind of talks about, because it has a place it's going.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a phrase. It's not a proverb. You know, it's not just a little proverb that stands on its own. It's part of an entire teaching. All right. So here's our love made perfect, that we maybe have boldness with confidence. In other words, in the day of judgment, we got confident. We're okay.
And this is the day.
That's Ephesians.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Keep going. There is no fear in love. In other words, I'm not worried. There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because he that fear has fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. That is, you got all kinds of other concerns. And what God is saying is that you don't have to have people be just right for you. You don't have to have circumstances be just right for you. You're a lover no matter where you are. You're at peace. You're not out of control. People when they have fear, they don't love because they're busy protecting themselves. Amen? I'm busy protecting myself, my stuff. Amen? So, I'm not having fear because I'm made perfect in love. That is, my confidence is in the love of God, is that He is in me and He's flowing out through me. And when I'm here, it's not because of me, but because of Him. When I'm in the room, love prevails. Mercy prevails. Amen? Not judgment. God judges at the last day, not me now. Amen? Now, keep going. We love Him because He first loved us. That's the reason that we do. We weren't going to love Him. He first loved us, and then we loved Him afterward because of what He did and performed and had and caused to happen.
And He gave us the Spirit.
That's it. We wouldn't have gone after Him. But, you know, it says, none seeketh after God. Nobody was seeking after God. So if a man, so now this verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother. You know, what he's saying is he hasn't heard the truth. He just, if anything, he's just a nominal Christian. He is not mature. He's not growing up. He just, you know, I got saved. I hate that guy. You know, this guy is immature. He doesn't understand. No, he just, I don't even know if it rises to the level of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy would be, I know, and I'm doing the opposite. This guy doesn't even know. Or at least if he is being a hypocrite, it's obvious. He hates his brother and he says he loves God. Uh-uh. Wrong. This does not compute. So he says then, for he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Because he's only operating in the flesh anyway. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. That's how it looks.
That's given me some real clarity.
Hallelujah.
This particular place, well, because I've been led by the Spirit so much, so many, this one particular, didn't hear.
Mm-hmm. Now, if anybody goes to the Greek and figures it out differently, you come tell me.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not opposed to being corrected, but this is here's what I believe, and that's what I see.
No, I received it.
Okay. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians.
Okay.
Chapter 1, verse 4. So that we ourselves, so he has given thanks for the brethren because of their faith growing, because of their love abounding, so that we ourselves, that's Paul, Silas, and Timothy, as the team who has loved them and been the father in the faith to them, so that we ourselves give praise to God, glory in you. That is not glory in you, but we're rejoicing because of you, giving glory to God because of you, in the churches of God. So in other words, we're reporting around to all the churches of God. Man, those guys out in Thessalonica, man, they're receiving it. Here's what they're looking like. So he's not putting them up but he's putting them up as an example of here's how the church should work. You know, if you want to go have a church seminar on how it works, well, here's how it is. Go see them. They'll have a seminar for you. That's a good one. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. See, the faith and the love toward one another causes them to have a good report among all the churches because of all the persecutions that they're enduring. These guys are enduring persecutions, and yet the love of God for each other. See, many times, you know, if you got a situation like that in the Gulf, down in the Gulf there in New Orleans, when trouble comes, what happens? Give me that! Give me 5 bottles of water! Well, he didn't get any. Fine, let him get his own. I mean, people are just hateful to one another. They just take what they can get. Amen? But this causes, in the middle of persecution, see, they're in persecution. They're in trouble and tribulation. And selfishness comes out. But here in the church, love comes out and mercy. And they build one another up. And that church grows where that other community is becoming disintegrated because of selfishness. Every man for himself. But in the church, it's every man for one another. Every man, like it said over in the book of Acts, every man looking after his brother's needs. Now, it doesn't mean you should expect it. Another good scripture there is Galatians. And see if I can find it. Oh, here it is. Galatians chapter... because this is all about the love of God. Galatians chapter 6. Says, verse 2 says, bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, this is 6:2, Galatians 6:2. So he's telling them, bear one another's burdens. Who's saying that? Who's telling them that?
Bear
one another's burdens. Or ultimately, the Lord. The Lord is saying.
Sure.
I kind of liken that to where he says... husbands, love your wives. Well, who's saying that? God or the husband? Or the wife? Yeah.
Love your wife.
You know. And, you know, wives, submit to your husbands. So is it the husband saying, submit? Is that what that is? No, it's God. So husband, keep your mouth shut. It's not your job to tell your wife to submit. Wife, keep your mouth shut. It's not your job to tell your husband to love you. Quit it. I almost said shut up. That would be ugly, wouldn't it, for a pastor to say that? But what I'm saying is, God is the one who's saying those things. So you need to let God speak to your husband, God speak to your wife. You don't command them. This is what God, I mean, God said husbands. So God's talking to the husband. The wife's not talking to the husband. Does that make sense? In other words, you don't get to complain about it and whine about it and rip it out of the Bible and go show your husband, here's what God said. You know. God's going to have to tell him. Well, I don't know how he's going to get to him. He never reads the Bible. You know. Well, you're going to have to pray, woman. You're going to have to pray, man. She had to submit to me. Well, fine. Then just be unsubmitted to. Just have no authority in your home at all. Well, I'm the man. Well, you're a weenie. You're an idiot. If you don't have any authority in your home, it's your own fault. You need to worship God. God will begin to set you in right order. You don't get authority in your home by beating up on your wife, verbally or any other way. Amen.
I have authority. I don't know if I have authority or only, God's
only if God backs you up.
But my father's wife don't go to church, but my wife goes to church.
Right, thank God for it. Let's keep.
My wife goes to church.
Amen. You can't get a third wife to go to church, I don't think.
What?
I don't think you could get a third wife. You know, you kind of lost all credibility at the time you're not. You know, number three, you probably lost all credibility.
Somebody died on it.
Oh, died on it.
Yeah.
Man, that guy wears them out.
Yeah.
Okay, look here. Let's finish this. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So what that means is, if a man thinks himself to be something, because he's nothing anyway, because he is nothing, he's deceiving himself. But let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Verse 5. Compare this to verse 2. For every man shall bear his own burden. So that gives you the idea, that same kind of context of who's God talking to in which verse.
Yeah.
You there, bear one another's burdens. Tim, bear their burdens. Now, do you get to say, hey, Tim, bear my burdens? No, verse 5 talks to you. Let every man bear his own burden. In other words, you bear your own burden. That's right. But you see him under a burden, and God tells you to help him. But he can't expect that and force you. He can't force you to bear his burden, but God told you to do it. But he can't force you to. God said, take care of him. You've got to take care of himself. So does that make sense? Same thing as that scripture over in Ephesians about the husbands and wives. You don't get to force them, but let God tell them. Amen? All right. Now back over here. We're going to keep going here. Otherwise, we'll get bogged down. So they've got all these persecutions and all these tribulations. Amen? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. All right? But they've got faith in all their persecutions and all their tribulations. They're operating by faith because they know all their needs are supplied.
Amen.
Which is a manifest... Okay, which is... So we're glorying... We're talking to all the other churches about you guys, your patience in faith and in all the persecutions that you're enduring. And which is that patience and faith is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. For which you also suffer. In other words, as God, through the Holy Spirit, begins to flow through you, that's like over there in 1 John chapter 4. Here's the evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in you. Is because you see love, joy, peace. You see men loving their brethren. You see men loving their wives. You see wives submitting to their husbands. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, this is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. And the worthiness is because of, not because you performed something, but the worthiness is that there's an evidence in you that you have believed. What pleases God? Faith. Faith pleases God. Not works. But works... Faith produces works. All right.
Let the suffer part.
For which you also suffer. That's what they were doing. They were suffering. They had tribulations. They had persecutions. So, in other words, you may be counted of worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. That is, the kingdom of God is coming forth and being demonstrated in you. When he says counted worthy of it, that is, somebody's looking at you and saying amen, just like Paul did about this Thessalonian church. This worthy of the kingdom of God is not because you're working hard and works were produced, God's going to think you're okay and you can come in. That could easily be construed that way. I don't believe that's what he's saying. Is that others will say, that man is from the kingdom of God. So you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. It's an evidence. It's an evidence. Those things which are being manifest in you are an evidence. And people looking and saying, amen. Well, it's through the suffering that you're joyful, that you haven't given up hope. Amen?
Yeah.
Even when your flesh overtakes you, you don't give up your joy. Exactly. Because what has begun to happen is that even though you live in this world, and you, it's like Jesus said when he said, in the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In other words, in and through the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, that even though troubles are here, manifest, I mean, they are as real as that chair. The troubles are as real as that chair. Yet, you have hope that is further out beyond that trouble. You have hope that that trouble will not, it cannot be the end. Because God said, all things are working together for my good. Amen? So you see, God promised that. So what the devil intended for evil, God turned it for good. So whether that's talking about somebody getting saved out of it, whether it's talking about my sins are being revealed, and that's which were keeping me from experiencing more growth in the Lord. That is, I believe that God is going to use whatever this trouble is. Now, God didn't send the trouble, but the trouble is just in the world. And so I know, after meditation, thinking on these things for years, like you, is I know this joy belongs to me. I have a joy that cannot escape me. And when things come and want to grab a hold of my emotional button, and I'm beginning to just say, no, I'll not walk that way. Because what that does is drags me back into the old life. That drags me back into the old life of the expectation of people to do what I expected them to do or thought they should do right. I don't believe people are going to do right. That's not skeptical. That's not cynical. That's just, I don't have an expectation. When something good happens, wow, glory to God. But I'm not living in cynicism. Even though I'm skeptical, and you know, somebody would all say, so people call me, like me or Jim, they call us cynical. Oh, you're so cynical. No, I'm not. I'm rejoicing. I just don't have any unrealistic expectations, which means I don't have very many expectations at all of anything but good to come from God. It's a good word. Comforted. That's right.